grateful that we can gather together like this. And Lord, in all that is said, all that is done, may you alone get the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We serve a wonderful God, folks. Awesome God. Do you feel loved by the Lord?
Yes.
We need to feel His love. We need to know how much He loves us. And I really, well, we can see in Scripture, you know, there were just a few of us on planet Earth, the Father would have sent His Son Jesus to die just for the few of us. That's how much He loves us. So we need to embrace that love and know that He's loved by us. So today, we're going to continue with... Was that an enthusiastic... We're going to continue with James. All right, and I just want to very briefly, folks, give us a little bit of background that I shared. You know, that this is now our sixth time that I've been speaking on James. And I said some time back, and again, just to remind us, that the book of James is not deep doctrine, right? This is not deep doctrine, you know, what we're looking at here. The book of James, or the letter that James wrote, is not a defense of Christianity. It's not a letter that explains to us how we receive salvation. It is written to people that James sees as those who are believers, and that he assumes that they know the word. And that is just like you and I here this morning. So really, this message or this letter is for us who know the Lord, and again, that's his assumption as well. And his intention in this letter is to drive home the importance of living out the truth. We need to embrace the truth, and we need to live out the truth. And basically what James is saying in this letter is that if you say that you believe, why do you not live your life? Why do you live your life as if you don't believe? So there's a huge challenge in that. And he continues to challenge us, okay? And, you know, so he makes demands for us to change our lives, the way we live in our lives. He challenges us to change our conduct, the way we conduct ourselves out there in this world. And he begins this letter by identifying himself. He says in verse 1, he says, James, that's me, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he is a servant of God. Now, James, we know, is the half-brother of Jesus, right? So, and he's also the author of the book of James. And of course, James was one of four sons born to both Mary and Joseph. And if this is listed according to Matthew 13, verse 54, if it's listed in order of their birth, then James would be the oldest after Jesus, obviously. And, you know, none of Jesus' brothers or sisters, for that matter, believed that he was the Messiah until after his resurrection. It was only after his resurrection that they believed it. And this, of course, included James. And James did not only become a believer, but he was considered to be an apostle. And we see that in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6. And James, well, you know, he became the pastor of the church in Jerusalem, and he was actually known for his deep prayer life, and he was also known for his profound faith. He was a man of faith. So what he decided to do is to send this letter, and we are the recipients of it. This letter of James is for each one of us that are sitting here today, that are born again, okay? So today we're going to continue to have a look at this letter in a bit of detail. But I want to ask you a question before I even start. Are you ready to be challenged? We should have a big shout there. Are you ready to be challenged? Because we need to be challenged by the Word of God. Folks, there are too many churches out there that we can all go to. They will tickle our ears and tell us stuff that we want to hear and make us feel good, right? James makes us feel good, but he also challenges us in it. So today's message, you know, it's a challenge. Today's message is no exception when it comes to being challenged by the gospel. So we're just going to focus on a few verses here this morning. We're going to have a look at chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 1 through to 12. Now, if I had to put a title to this morning's message, it would be, watch your words. Watch your words. Watch what comes out of your mouth. And he's got a lot to say about it in those few verses. So let me start. Verse 1, he says, not many of you should become teachers. Okay, how encouraging is that for me? Okay, but then he tells us why. He says, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. So I'm standing here and it's just not fair. I'm going to be judged in a stricter way than you guys are going to be judged. That's what he says. Did you know that? Well, if you didn't know, you do. Verse 2 says, for we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, what comes out of your mouth, he is the perfect man. So if you don't stumble in that area, basically he's saying you are the perfect person. If you get everything that comes out of your mouth is good and accurate, right, you are perfect. How many of us are there? Just put up your hand if you fall into that category of perfection. Not too many in this church. Not too many on this planet. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is the perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guard their whole bodies as well. Isn't that true? You put a bit in the mouth of a horse, when you utilize that bit, you don't just guard its head. You guard the whole horse. And he's saying this about us. If we control what comes out of our mouths, we control our whole being and our future as well. He says, look at the ships also. Though they are so large, are driven by strong winds, they are also guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So think about that. These huge sail ships with big sails, those enormous ships are guided and directed by a tiny little rudder. So also the tongue, he says, is a small member. When you look at the tongue, the size of the tongue in comparison to our whole body, it's a small member. Yet it boasts of great things. How a great forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. Folks, the words that we speak, when we say stuff that we shouldn't be saying, basically what he's saying to us, there are huge repercussions. Just like a match, lighting a match, setting a part of a forest on fire, next thing the whole forest is on fire. It's the same with our tongues, he says. And he says the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set out among the members, staining the whole body, setting on fire. Now listen to this, your tongue and my tongue, setting on fire the entire course of life. We are in a way where we are today as a result of what we've said in the past. And he says, and set on fire by hell. So basically what he's saying, your words determine, what comes out of your mouth determines the course of your life. There's power, folks, in our words. And we better be mindful of it. And some of us, I really believe, and I'll put up my hand, we need to make some adjustments when it comes to that. And today is a good time to actually start this thing. He says, for every kind of beast and bird and reptile and sea creature can be tamed. Have you thought about that? Or everything can be tamed. I saw a documentary a little while ago of this guy out in the bush somewhere. Well, but I think it was South America, but it was out in the jungle. That he's got a pet crocodile. Huge thing. And he climbs into the water and he goes for a swim with his crocodile. I couldn't believe it. But for every kind of beast and bird or reptile or sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But then he says, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. What does poison do?
Kills.
What else?
Destroys.
Think about it. Kind of steal, kill, and to destroy. Just about basically what Satan himself is busy doing on planet Earth. The tongue, folks. The tongue. That's what he says. It's full of deadly poison. Our tongue, if it is not used properly, is destructive. Very destructive. He says now in verse 9, he says, with our tongues, we bless our Lord and Father. Just like we did, we were praising the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. And then he says, and with it, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. Think about that. 1 minute we praise him with this mouth of ours, we praise in the Lord, and then with the same mouth, we cursing people who are created in the image of God. He says, from the same mouth, come blessings and curses. And he says, my brothers, my sisters, these things ought not to be. They shouldn't be so. Then he starts to talk about this. He says, does a spring, talking about a spring of water, pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Is that natural? That you got a spring, maybe you got a beautiful spring in your garden and it's crystal clear, right? Is it crystal clear and then half an hour later it is polluted and it stinks? Then again it's crystal clear, then it's polluted and stinks. Is that right? He's asking the question. He says, does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Is that natural? Then he goes on, he says, can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives? What's the answer to that? Or a grapevine produce figs? No. Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. So if you've got a spring, right, opening with spring water, it's either going to be fresh, clear, crystal clear water, or it's going to be salty, but it's not going to alternate. You know, I don't know if any of you remembered these podcasts that I put out with Derek. A while back, he was talking about when he was involved in World War II, and he was like an assistant to the doctor. He was like in the medical corps, and he said he used to go around with his doctor, and they had dysentery and all types of things, and the doctor would ask a patient, say, hello, how are you? And he was saying, well, the doctor wasn't even interested in how are you. He wasn't interested in the answer. He just says to them, put out your tongue. Put out your tongue, right? And so often, folks, our tongue may show the health of the rest of the body. This is what was happening then. But folks, in the same way, those things, you know, these things that are produced by the tongue, which are words, will show the health of our spiritual body, our spiritual beings. You know, words that we speak reveal what is in our heart. Do you know that? Whatever comes out of our mouth, these things are in our heart. And in actual fact, Jesus himself, he spoke about this thing, telling us to watch it. Watch what comes out of our mouths. He said in Matthew 12:34, I love when I read this, Jesus is always having a go at the religious leaders of the day, these hypocrites. You know, he starts off, he calls them, you brood of vipers. Imagine saying that to the religious leaders of the day. Then sometimes he calls them, you whitewashed tombs, you know, you nice and white on the outside, but you stink of dead man's bones on the inside. So he was very gentle with the religious leaders of the day, wasn't he? So Jesus says, you brood of vipers, talking to them, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out, this is what he tells us, and this is what we can learn. For out of the abundance of the heart, what's on the inside of us, the mouth speaks. Ultimately, it's going to come out of your mouth. Now, I don't know if you've ever met people where you kind of meet them for the first time and you just, you know, getting to talk to them. In no time, as soon as they feel comfortable with you, they will open up and what's in their heart will come out of their mouths. Is that true? Have you noticed that? So we need to ask ourselves the question then, folks. You know, what comes out of our mouths in the form of words? What comes out? You know, every day we speak in thousands of words, I'm sure. And, you know, some of the words that we speak are carefully selected. Is that right? We select our words. Other times we speak and we speak on impulse. Sometimes we speak quietly. While other times we raise our voices and we start to speak with quite loud, right? Sometimes we say words, these words coming out of our mouths, we say words with a desire to help people and to encourage people. And yet sometimes the words that we speak, the motivation is to hurt and to belittle and to retaliate and so on. So only a few words that we speak on a daily basis do we put a lot of thought into how those words impact on the lives of the people that are hearing. Because so often we just speak. We just speak. And basically James is saying to us, hey, we need to change this thing. You know, we need to kind of put a zip on it and make sure that we speak in the right things. You know, Jesus speaks about the importance of every word that we speak. And we need to remember, too, that God is listening. God hears every word we speak. And this is what Jesus said about the words that we speak in Matthew 12, 36. He says, I tell you, Jesus speaking to us, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. Every word we speak on that day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, he says, and by your words you will be condemned. And James says that incorrect speech, things that come out of our mouths, is not just a you problem and a me problem. It is a worldwide problem. Everybody has this problem. He says in verse 2, he says, for all, that includes everyone, for all stumble in many ways. Every single person on this planet has this problem. And we can either just carry on or we make the necessary adjustments. So folks, I really believe that we're looking at this thing. We need to make a decision in our own lives make sure that we are mindful of the words that we speak. Let's not just speak. Let's be mindful of everything that comes out of our mouths. And I need to say this as well. Adjustments need to be made for all of us. There's no question about that. But the thing is that it will not happen by itself. You're not going to wake up tomorrow morning and suddenly you've got it all together when it comes to this very important thing that he's speaking about, where we're just saying the right thing all the time. So it's about being aware of it, how important our words are, and then making a decision to make the necessary adjustments. And again, only a perfect person will not have a word problem. Again, who's perfect here? You guys should go to church, man. Verse 2 says, for we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. His whole body. So we can see very, very clearly that the words we speak impact our lives. The Bible says life and death are in the tongue. And again, we know these things, but it's not about just knowing it. We need to make that decision to make the necessary adjustments. And, you know, everyone stumbles, and how many of you know that stumbling is embarrassing? If you stumble? Huh? I can't help but tell the story of my beautiful wife. When we started courting, I was taking Tisha out. It was fashionable to have platform shoes that were about 6 or 12 inches high. I don't know how high were they, my darling. How high were they? 7 inches. Now, Krisha used to wear these 7-inch high platforms, and of course she wore pants as well. And to be quite honest, I always thought she was my heart. I really did. I thought Krisha's my heart, you know. But what happened, once she stumbled on these things, I mean, I'm sure in those days people used to jump off their shoes to commit suicide. Okay, I mean, this is serious stuff, all right? But she stumbled. And, you know, it might have been a little bit embarrassing. I wasn't going to tell them that. Did I really? Okay. But yeah, you know, stumbling off your shoes, okay, that can be embarrassing. But folks, the consequences of moral stumbling, the consequences of character stumbles really are so much worse. These things can be devastating. And, you know, the one area that you and I are most likely to stumble is what comes out of our mouths, this area. So it is our tongue that reveals the condition of our heart. You know that? It reveals the condition. Now, James, as I've been reading here, that portion of Scripture, James makes three observations. And I want to very briefly have a look at, you know, each one of those three observations. The first thing, the tongue is small but powerful. Verse 5, he says, in the same way the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it can boast of great achievements. The boasting tongue. Verse 3 says, if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guard their whole bodies as well. And there's something we can learn from that, folks. Can you imagine? Imagine that there's a big stallion over here, right? You know, a big, beautiful black stallion with long mane and so on. Maybe it's 17 hands tall. Huge horse, right? And the master of this horse places a 6-inch bit into its mouth. According to, well, we know that that horse can be directed in any direction. Is that true? And it's exactly the same. He's saying basically it's the same as the tongue. The tongue is like it. It will determine what comes out of your mouth will determine the direction of your life. Determines the direction of our lives. And he talks about this so much. A small rudder directs the direction of a huge ship. That's what he says. And the tongue is as small as it is, will direct the course of a person's life. And folks, we better believe this. Sometimes, you know, we say, well, why are things going so wrong with me and I'm not having my breakthrough and rhubarb, you know, we whinge about things. Maybe the starting point is to start to check out or analyze what we are actually saying. And we need to maybe start to change our confession, to change our speech, so that we start to speak positively over situations. Because if our tongue is a creative force, as we know it is, we are speaking things into the heavenlies. I'll give you an example. You know, somebody might come up for prayer, and we pray for that person. And we trust in, we stand in agreement, we're doing what the word says, we pray, and straight away that person walks out, and somebody says to you, and how are you? And the first thing that comes out of our mouths, it's like we're wired. Oh, I'm so bad. I'm so sick. And we nullify what we have just stood in agreement, trusting the Lord for, because of what we've said. So somehow, and this is difficult. It's difficult. Somehow we need to get our heads around this and be aware of it and then make the necessary changes. So our words have a powerful impact on our own lives, but not just our own lives. They have an impact on other people's lives as well. I want to tell you, how many of you remember I think I've used this example before. How many of you remember the carpenters? Yeah. Put up your hand if you remember the carpenters, or you know who the carpenters are. There's a bunch of old people in this church, eh? Now the carpenters, this is a very good example here, because it was Richard and Karen Carpenter. They were the carpenters. It was a brother-sister band. And what happened is Karen Carpenter, now you can go and Google Karen Carpenter. She had I don't know what you would have to Google, but in terms of clarity and in terms of voice, she is right up there with the best that has ever been on planet Earth, right? You'll find her name up there if you Google, you know, best female singers or whatever. She had a crystal clear voice, absolutely beautiful voice. But what happened with Karen Carpenter, she developed an eating disorder. Right? She became anorexic. And ultimately, that killed her at the age of 32. 32 years old. And what's so interesting about it was later discovered by a reviewer of their music. Somebody went out to go and check out their music and, you know, just find out more about them. It was discovered that once Karen Carpenter, at one point, somebody referred to her as Richard's chubby little sister. Just those words. Richard's chubby little sister. And look what happened. So I'm just saying, folks, we put things into motion when we... And let me also say this, the converse is really good. When we start to speak life into situations, right, that's when we start to see the reverse of all of these things. So, like with her, one single little negative word spoken over her really changed the course of her life. Verse 5 says, how a great forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And James says that it only takes a little spark, tiny little spark, to ignite a whole forest. And that's the thing with our words. You know, when we speak stuff and we speak negative stuff, you can't chase those words and pick them up. Now, you know, they go out and pick them up and put them back. You know, put the whatever back in the bottle. It can't be done. The damage is done. So the similarities that we hear, that we see here, of the destruction between fire, that little match that sets a forest on fire, and the tongue, you can't miss it here, right? Just a few words that can actually spark and cause years of heartache and misery and destruction because of what people have said, or maybe what we have said. Verse 5, in the same way, the tongue is a small part of the body. We know that. How big is your tongue in comparison to your body? Tiny. But it can brag about doing important things. The bragging tongue, think about it, right? The bragging tongue can ruin somebody's reputation, and it can be a whole lot of lies. But people speak out something maybe about you that is not true, and then those 10 people that heard it, they go and tell 10 people, and then they tell 10 people, and eventually your good reputation is destroyed because of what somebody's actually said about you, right? Folks, it shouldn't happen. And like I said, you can't take those words and put them back. The damage is done. Damage is done. That's the bragging tongue. So it can ruin a reputation. The bragging tongue can destroy a friendship. Isn't that right? It can embarrass people. It can humiliate people. It can shame people. And in actual fact, we have to be careful when we're speaking over people, because it can be a curse that is put on people. We've gone through that series on, you know, blessings and curses, right? And also, of course, the bragging tongue can destroy. It is so small, and yet it is so powerful. So that's the first thing. Do you want to know what the second thing is? Are we still here?
Yeah.
Cool. Secondly, James observes that the tongue is not only small, but it's dangerous. It's dangerous. Verse 6, the tongue is that kind of flame. It is a world of evil among the parts of our bodies. And it completely contaminates our bodies. Contaminates our bodies. In other words, what is contamination? If the tongue can contaminate our own bodies, it makes our contamination means that it's toxic, it's impure, it's corrupt. Completely contaminate our bodies. The tongue sets on fire, this is your own life, our lives, sorry, it sets our lives, your own life on fire, and is itself set on fire from hell. People have tamed all kinds of animals, birds and reptiles and sea creatures, yet no one can tame the tongue. It is an uncontrollable evil filled with deadly poison. Now, again, verse 8, here actually, James says, you know, he uses the word poison. And again, I ask you, what does poison do? It's destructive, eh? Right? So it can easily poison the minds of other people. And as I say, this thing is perpetuated right there. And folks, we need to ask God to assist us with this. Ask God to help us so that we can make the necessary adjustments. You know King David? How many of you have heard of King David? Three, four. Okay, yeah, okay. Next week, Chris, you remind me I must give a message on David and Goliath. We'll start there. But King David, he was known as a man after God's own heart. And King David has the same problem with his tongue as you do and as I do. Listen to this. This is Psalm 141, verse 3. This is David, what he says. O Lord, set a guard at my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Huh? Folks, the Lord has given us the ability to control our tongue to a point. Okay, basically what he says here, we'll never get it perfect, but what we need to do is start, and we start to try to get it right. But it's like everything in our Christian walk. Our Christian walk is a walk of discipline in terms of our relationship with the Lord, and our Christian walk is about making decisions. Is that right? We make decisions. We make decisions to come to church. We make decisions, don't come. We make decisions, I mean, it's all about making decisions. We make decisions to read the word. Or we are making a decision and choosing as believers not to read the word. It's like that. So there's a whole lot of choices. And we need to do our best to make the correct choices for our own lives. And then finally, the third thing that James observes, that the tongue is small, but it shows us who we really are. James tells us that we can sin by what we say. Is that true? What comes out of our mouth can be sin. And what we say can reveal the sin or those things that are deep in our own hearts. He says in verse 9, with our tongues we praise our Lord and Father, yet with the same tongues we curse people who were created in God's likeness. He says, praise and curses coming from the same mouth. My brothers and sisters, this should not happen. So we can praise, you know, God right now with this mouth. And we get into our car, drive down the road, and guess who cuts us off on the road? A taxi. You got it. Right? And we are cut off by a taxi. And in less than an hour, we can be cursing a driver of the taxi who is created in the image of God. And again, James is saying this shouldn't happen. Shouldn't happen. Okay? Cursing someone that is made in God's image, we shouldn't be doing that. Praise and curses coming out of the same mouth. Verse 11, he compares our tongue to a fountain. He asks that question, and it is a question. Does clean and polluted water flow out of the same spring? Now, your mouth is a spring. I'm asking you, does clean and polluted water flow out of the same spring? Yes or no? A water spring, the answer to that is no. But our mouths Yeah, let's be honest, folks. Let's be honest. And of course, this will never happen in nature where you've got a spring that's pure water and then dirty water and so on. And then finally, James compares the tongue to a fruit tree. He says, my brothers and sisters, can a fig tree produce olives? Asking a question. Can a grapevine produce figs? In the same way, a pool of salt water can't produce fresh water. He gives us an answer to that thing about the water. It can't. So James, now this is very interesting, yeah, because he draws a conclusion from all of these illustrations that he's given us. And the conclusion that he draws is very obvious to him. And maybe it needs to be obvious to us as well. And what James is concluding is that the tongue only reveals, listen for it, what is at the source. The source is what's on the inside of us, right? And what is on the inside of us, the word says, will come out of our mouths in the form of words. Do you know that Jesus had something to say about this as well? Let me tell you what Jesus had to say about the very same thing. That, you know, what comes out of our the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks type of thing. Jesus said in Luke 6:43, he says, no good tree bears bad fruit. Is that true? If you've got a really good fruit tree, you've got a beautiful peach tree in your garden, is it going to be a bad fruit? No. And then Jesus says, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. If you've got a real scruffy tree in your garden, what's the name for a scruffy peach tree? No one knows. We've got no farmers here, man. Come on. Right? He says, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. We understand that. Then he says, Jesus said, for a tree is known by its own fruit. Is that true? Oh, we as believers, doesn't the scripture say that they will know us by our fruit? Yes. Huh? Then Jesus carries on. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. Then he says, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. And Jesus then says, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. Now watch what he says. For out of the abundance of the heart, what is on the inside of us, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Ultimately, it comes out of the mouth. So, folks, we need to understand this. And these wonderful lessons that James has given us here. And also, that we mustn't speak too much. Because if we you know, talk too much, we're going to regret stuff that we said. Don't be a person that just talks all the time. Now, I'm not saying that. The Word says that. And I said a couple of weeks back, maybe that's why God has given us two ears and one mouth. Maybe that's the ratio, that we listen twice as much as we speak. Because Proverbs 10:19 says, where there is much talk, lots of talk, there will be no end to sin. But he who keeps his mouth shut does wisely. Do you know that there's a scripture that even says that people that might not be the sharpest tool in the tool shed, but if they keep their mouths zipped, right, and they don't talk, other people think they're smart because they haven't spoken. The Word says that. All right, so as I close, folks, let us make sure that what comes out of our mouths, firstly, is true, very important, that it's necessary, and that is helpful. And for us to be able to control our tongue means that we have to make a quality decision to do it. I'm going to say that again. It's not going to just happen. It's not going to just happen. We have to realize that we have a word problem. And once we realize that we have a word problem, then we can do something about it. And then we make a decision. But if you don't, if we still don't, we walk out of here and we think we don't have a word problem, I can tell you something. You might walk out and say, well, that was interesting, but it doesn't apply to me. Remember the words of Jesus. I tell you, Jesus says, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. So, let's start working on this. Let's start working on this today. Good time to start. How many of us are prepared to start today? I think if that's you, let's just pray about this. Folks, this is so important, what he's saying over here, because it's a huge impact on our lives. So if that's you, Father, I just lift each and every single one of us up to you today. And Lord, where we miss in our own lives what you have shared with us today, that we see in your word, Father, I ask that you help us, that you assist us, that you guide us, that you assist us in becoming aware of the things that we say that we shouldn't say. And Lord, that we are convicted of this, and when we are convicted of this, we bring it to you. And Lord, your word says that when we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we say thank you, Lord. As we ask you to assist us, we thank you for the changes that we are prepared to make in our own lives when it comes to this very thing about the words we speak. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.